Hey, welcome to the show. This is Adventist Ways, a show that shares the song stories of Seventh-day Adventist musicians from around the world. I'm your host, Khan Elmers, a music lover and podcast producer. In today's episode, we'll explore the song story of John Malia. John grew up in Minnesota, lives currently in Oklahoma. He's a father of four kids and a full-time musician. And you tour a bit around the United States, right, John?
Yeah, I have toured. We have a pretty big country, and I've been literally from one end to the other, and have really enjoyed all the places I've been able to see in between. And I want to, you know, I should have thought of this ahead of time. My last name is really hard to pronounce. It's uncommon. It's pronounced Malay. Your pronunciation is, I get that 99% of the time. So you're right on par.
Okay, that's good. At least I'm in the average group.
Yeah.
John Malay.
It's Irish, okay. Yeah, and it's okay. Irish, yeah.
Very good.
Dad's side of the family, that's where they came to the United States from.
I see. So John Malay.
Malay, yeah.
Do you have any tours coming up?
I don't. I do have a concert at the Oklahoma camp meeting here in my home state in just a few weeks in July. I am always booking concerts, though, so hit me up. I'll be happy to come to wherever you are. But yeah, I'm reaching out to some people in some different states here in the U.S. to do some concerts this fall and into next year.
So make sure you follow us on Adventist Waves on Instagram. Give us a donation, or every little bit counts. It helps us spread the word about Adventist musicians, just like John. Yeah, so thanks for your support, and let's dive into today's episode. John, can you share with us where you are, who you are, like, where you're from, and a moment that you felt inspired to be a musician?
So I grew up in Minnesota, which is kind of in the northern central United States, colder state. And when I was growing up, especially in the 90s, in my kind of preteen and through my teen years, my dad was writing songs and recording. He had a home studio. He recorded in some different studios around the Twin Cities where we lived and met musicians. And so we were constantly kind of exposed to his songwriting and the recording process and the mixing and all of that stuff. It was a lot to put up with. The home studio was in the basement. It was a split-level house, so there was no door. And so whenever he would be listening to his latest mix or whatever to try to see if it was what he wanted, he would just be blasting it so loud, and me and my sister just would plug our ears or scream sometimes. I did not realize at the time how much that was kind of rubbing off on me. My dad was a single dad. He raised us from the time I was real young. And so, yeah, it was just him making his music and me and my sister kind of there to watch it all and hear it all. I've moved all over the country. The Lord came into my life when I was 18. From there, I was interested in getting into ministry. I went to a Bible school training program and was involved in Bible work and different kinds of ministry. But the moment when I decided to start writing or felt compelled, I had been working as a pastor, an assistant pastor in a small district in Illinois. And I was alone. I wasn't married yet, so I'm a single guy in this small town. There was no community of other young Adventists there. I was making friends with other Christians in the community, but you know, it was lonely. And so I was kind of discouraged, and even backslidden. Not that I ever gave up on the Lord, but I was definitely backslidden, in my life. And it was kind of during this time, and I can't leave out that I was also dating a girl, and there was some ups and downs with that, a lot of emotions happening with that. And so it's all of these emotions of kind of my discouragement, the difficulties of romantic relationship. And it was just a period of intense emotion. I had always kind of played guitar a little bit, and I like to sing, but I learned some new techniques on the guitar. I started learning fingerstyle guitar, and that was incredible for me. It just opened up a whole new world of music to me in connection with kind of, you know, learning some new stuff with my instrument and going through these deep emotional times. I started writing. It really just started pouring out of me. Yeah.
What were some of the original songs that you made back then?
You know, a lot of love songs. trying to apologize for being stupid. also songs about, you know, kind of seeking the Lord in this time of discouragement, songs of longing and of repentance. And that's kind of how it started, but I began to, it didn't stop. And so from there, I started kind of my love for preaching and communicating really started connecting with music and my love of singing and playing. And music is a very emotional way of communicating. Yeah, it all just kind of came together. And so one of the early songs I wrote, which is my most popular song still on Spotify, is called Leaning on a Cane. And it was a song about the life of Jacob, specifically his experience of wrestling with God. Mm-hmm. And that came out of a sermon. I preached on this story. I had, you know, done some really deep study through the whole story, and then I wrote a song about it. So I just recently updated my website and kind of all my graphics and my social media branding and stuff. And I've started putting Bible folk music on all of my stuff, because I feel like that really sums up what it is that I do. The music I make is often really saturated in the language of Scripture. So if you know the Bible, you're hearing phrases and, you know, tidbits in all these songs. So it's music for Bible folk, so to speak, but it's also music about Bible folk. I tell a lot of stories in my songs about characters in Scripture. Anyway, so that Bible folk music is kind of a play on what I'm doing and my subject matter and my audience. And
There's a lot of factors that I think that brought you to the place where you are today. And I can see it kind of like come out into first starting with your dad and then moving on to your later life when you turned 18, you found the Lord and started to get more into relationships and started to explore life, which led you to experiment with music and through your love with preaching and songwriting. That has kind of brought you to where you are today. Would you say that's correct?
Yeah, definitely. And of course, there's, you know, a lot has happened between now and then. I'm 42 now, so it's been 24 years since the Lord came into my life. I started writing songs and sharing them in my late 20s. So it's been a number of years since that kind of first got sparked off. And since then, I've been married and had kids, and my wife and family have also, you know, now had a big impact in who I am and what I'm doing.
Maybe you could share a bit more about that. Like, tell us a bit more about your family and how they work with you, cooperate with you on your music.
Yeah. So when my wife and I got married, before we got married, she told me that she would never be up on stage with me, and I would have to be okay with that if we were going to move forward. and I was fine with that. My wife doesn't play that kind of active role where she's singing with me or anything like that. She's been my biggest supporter and encourager. She puts up with me I feel like I have kind of a lot of the stereotypical artist personality. I feel my emotions very deeply and go through changes in those emotions. And I think I'm a lot more stable now at 42 than I was, you know, at 22 or even 32. But yeah, she's my biggest supporter and encourager and has put up with me as an artist. And we have four kids. I've written some songs, that have been inspired by them. And they are, my oldest daughters especially, well, I have three daughters and a son. So the girls were the first three, and then our son was the fourth. So my daughters, and especially the older two, have started to sing with me at concerts, which has been a lot of fun. I even took my older girls a couple of years ago to a concert in Nebraska. And just the three of us, we drove up there and listened to stories on the way and stayed in a hotel, and they sang with me at the concert. And it was really a wonderful weekend. They are kind of the foundation and backdrop of my life now. And my kids especially are becoming onstage partners, which is a lot of fun.
It seems to me that your family has a big impact in who you are as a musician and a direction of your ministry as well. Why don't you share with us one piece of music that reflects your style of music?
Yeah, my most recent original release was back in December of last year, 2024, and it's called Call Me Blessed. This is a Christmas song, although you might not, recognize that at first glance. It doesn't necessarily have any of the cliche Christmas sounds. And it's definitely not a cliche Christmas story. I've actually written a bunch of Christmas songs. Lord willing, I'm going to get this album out one day. there was a period a few years ago when I was just really thinking about the Christmas story and Christmas music and how these stories could be told differently. Our Christmas music is often like storybook in the sense that it's very positive. A lot of it even is saccharine. You know, it's I don't know, what's another word for that?
I'm not sure.
cheesy, you know, that's pretty similar. You know, saccharine is like sugar sweet, you know, but cheesy is kind of similar connotation musically. So, you know, a lot of our Christmas music, it's kind of cheesy. It's these cute stories about a baby. But, you know, when you really think about what was happening there, this is a terribly difficult, painful, confusing situation for everybody involved. And although we get to see glimpses of the faith that people like Mary and Joseph, and they're kind of the main characters in that early part of that story. We get to see their faith in scripture, but it doesn't take much thinking to imagine the more challenging parts of their story. And, you know, scripture also talks about those. Joseph finds out that she's pregnant and he decides that he's going to divorce her. He's going to do it in a kind way, you know. Anyway, you know, and when you think about those parts of the stories, I feel like we don't tell them, at least not in music, very often. So this song is about Mary. It's short, short and sweet, but it's just basically about, it's what I imagine Mary may have been thinking after she told Joseph,
right,
that she was pregnant. You know, perhaps right there told him that, you know, she saw an angel and the angel told her that, you know, she would be with child from the Holy Spirit and that her son would be the Messiah, and he did not believe her. Of course, I'm taking some imaginative liberties here. We don't know exactly how the story played out, the details, but this is my imagining of her thought process. And so she's kind of chiding herself for being naive to think that she could tell him this and that he would understand and believe her. Her feeling that her heart is broken, and yet at the same time, she feels so deeply the love that God has for her and for all of his people in sending his son. And then I kind of imagine, you know, what it's like for her to be walking through the streets in her village and hearing the people whisper and staring at her. Just when you think about the months of her pregnancy and the experiences that she must have had, there were a lot of painful experiences there. This was a very lonely, painful thing to go through. And yet at the same time, her knowing what was happening, she had, you know, the opposite as well, this deep heartbrokenness and yet this deep sense of love and this deep loneliness and yet also this deep sense of companionship. So anyway, it's real short and simple and kind of just trying to look into her story into some of those painful moments. And then there's no chorus. It's just kind of two verses and a little bit of a bridge. But the high point of the song is her saying, "Someday they'll call me blessed." I took that from Luke chapter 1:148, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed." So she had that faith that people would someday recognize, who she was and what she did, the part that she played in God's plan, and that people would honor her and call her blessed when they found out, you know.
Mm.
But she's holding that faith in the midst of this very painful experience, and one that I'm sure, yeah, I feel like we kind of assume that Mary, and I think we do this with Bible people in general, we assume that Mary just went through every day just walking on a cloud, so happy, so carefree, because she knew the truth, you know. But just because you know the truth does not mean that you always feel it. It does not mean that you always see it. She did know the truth, but it, you know, that does not negate that she had a real life and had to deal with real situations. And she was a girl who was pregnant out of wedlock, you know?
Sure.
So anyway, yeah, but she did have that. She did have that hope. All generations will call me blessed. So that's the bridge. Someday these people that are sneering at me, that are whispering about me, that these people that don't believe me, they'll call me blessed.
Yeah.
And then the last line in the song, I rejoice in spirit in the God who saves me. That's also from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 and 47. So anyway, this song, I feel like really reflects who I am as a songwriter. I love to tell Bible stories in creative ways that kind of shock you and make you rethink what you thought you knew. And not just my Bible story songs, but all of my songs. I'm kind of trying to sneak up on you a little bit and surprise you with a truth that you maybe already knew, but, you know, help you to see it again with new eyes. So yeah, Call Me Blessed. It's, I think, a really good example of my music, like musically as well, stylistically. You know, it's simple guitar part. There's some strings in there, but you know, I'm a folk singer, folk songwriter, both the songwriting and the composition. I feel like it's definitely a John Millay tune.
If you were to summarize the message that you would like our listeners to get from that song today, what would it be?
I think for one thing, if you are in pain, if you are discouraged, if you are experiencing anxiety or doubt, this does not mean that you're lost. It does not mean necessarily that you're unfaithful. Faithful people have bad feelings sometimes. You know, life is real. I think sometimes in the church, we, especially, you know, in the past, I think it's getting better now, but we still have a problem, I think, with kind of giving people the impression that they should always be feeling happy. If they trust Jesus, they'll always feel happy. They'll never be sad. Hmm. They'll never doubt. They'll never feel discouraged. And I just don't think that's the truth. I think faithful people sometimes feel afraid, they sometimes feel discouraged, they sometimes feel alone. That does not mean that God has left you, that you are unfaithful. It's just part of life.
I really like how you said that. And I think it's something that our listeners can resonate with a lot today as well. Being in the situation that we are in the climate of today's society.
Yeah.
It's the truth. It's the truth. We can't always be happy. It's just not, it's not reality.
Yeah.
And we want, God is a part of reality. He created reality. And so if we'd say that everything was going to be, we should act happy, although we should maintain a positive outlook and an atmosphere of the people who are around us, you know, and not given to discouragement or despair. But the reality is that we do have those things. We need to deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, yeah, we don't need to give in to these things, but they do happen. And it's not a cause for further discouragement. If you get discouraged or feel doubt or feel afraid or anxious, this is not a reason to berate yourself or condemn yourself. You know, these are the moments when we cling to the Lord, we find his promises, and we hold on until it's past.
That's right. And there will come a point when these things will come to pass and they will get
better
as well.
Yeah.
And so we've got to maintain that hope in the midst of discouragement.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing this story with us. It's a story within a song. So make sure you guys check it out wherever you listen to your music, right?
Yep. It's everywhere.
So please do yourself a favor and check out John's music. One last thing before I let you go, John, what are some practical ways our listeners could help Adventist creatives like yourself?
we're living in a different world. Probably a lot of your listeners are young and this is the only world they know, but yeah, I grew up with CDs. I grew up with cassette tapes and then CDs. You know, you would support your favorite artist by buying a CD. Now, you know, with the internet and social media, things have changed so much. And there are actually a lot more ways available now to support your, you know, artists that not just that you enjoy, but, you know, people whose mission and work you really believe in. Patreon is a great platform. It's one that I utilize. I have 30 or 40 people that give monthly, and they get to hear kind of all of my recordings in process and new songs as I'm writing them. That's kind of a way that I repay them for their generosity, is by kind of having the inside a scoop on my creative work. So there's so many different ways. I think stream our music. We need you to stream our music on whatever platform you listen. We need you to find us on social media. Follow, like our posts, share our stuff. There are so many simple ways, free ways that people can help artists like me through because of social media. Just liking, sharing, following, and finding us on those other platforms like Patreon. And there are others like Patreon that do similar thing, that offer kind of a membership thing, or where people can give monthly. And then another thing, and it's a huge thing for me especially, and I think the same is true for other Adventist artists, but we need invitations. Concerts are the best place for people to get to know us, to get to know what our music and our mission is. In concerts, generally, I don't think I'm alone in this. We're not just singing songs, but we're telling stories. We're kind of explaining the meaning behind the songs. My concerts and artists like me, they're a message. They're a worship service. Invite us to your church or your local coffee shop or your house even. And we would be happy to sing for you.
One last question though. Do you think, like, how do you get your Patreon followers? Do you think that doing the concerts help you to find Patreon followers?
Yeah, yes. There's okay. No question. I've signed more people up for Patreon at concerts than I mean, maybe like 95% of the people who are my patrons are people who have been to my concerts. I think a big part of that is because, you know, what I've just been saying, at a concert, you really get to know the artist. And so it's not just a song anymore. You connect with this person and you can, you know, get a much better sense of what they're doing and what their mission is. So yeah, a lot of people, almost all my patrons, that's where they've heard about me.
Okay. Hey, well, thanks so much for coming on to the podcast today to share your story, your experience with us, John.
Thank you, Con. I really appreciate being here. Appreciate the invitation, and I just appreciate what you're doing. We definitely need to build up our Adventist artist community.
Yeah, this is just one step in that direction. We really want to try to encourage people to support Adventist musicians, especially those who are just beginning. So yeah, John, we'll have to do it again sometime.
I'd love that.
Yeah, we'll have to get you back on the show and share more about your experience. And looks like you have some releases coming up very soon. So let's circle back around when you get those further in the pipeline.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Cool. Thanks for listening to this episode of Adventist Waves. It was produced by me, Khan Elmers. Huge thanks to you, John Malay, for coming on to the show. So in order for you to stay in touch with us, make sure you drop us a message on socials, comment on our posts. And if people want to know a bit more about you, John, where can they follow you?
Instagram is my preferred platform. I'm not on TikTok. That will probably disappoint some of your listeners. but find me on Instagram. And of course, my website, johnmalay.com, has all the links. YouTube. YouTube's a great one, too.
Oh, yeah. Cool. So you have some videos up there, too.
Yeah.
Nice. So
they can find the lyric video for Call Me Blessed on YouTube.
Okay. So if you want to check out this song in particular, I'll drop that into the show notes so you can listen to that. And also links to John's social media too. So Adventist Waves is a podcast that highlights unique stories of Adventist musicians. We are completely listener supported. And if you'd like to help us continue producing more content, then consider giving today. Hit give now in the podcast description. Catch you on the next episode.
Adventist Waves.